Hey everybody, Dr. Lauren Hungler, naturopathic doctor and creator of the Healthy AF Mom Show, the show that helps tired millennial moms regain control of their energy, beat their cravings, banish their bloat, get better Z's, understand their postpartum bods, and more. On today's episode, we're going to be digging a little bit deeper. And so we're going to do a little bit of a part series for the next few weeks where we're going to be looking at the essential labs that I wish all tired, exhausted women knew. In this bite-sized episode, we're going to be going over what's the difference between pathological lab testing and functional lab testing. We're going to look at some of the signs and symptoms that you should be looking for that might indicate testing. And number three is we're going to be chatting about three distinct tests that if you are feeling tired, you need to know these results. If you're loving the content, I highly recommend you coming and subscribing to the channel on whatever podcast station you listen to and leave a review. And if you've noticed that today's episode, you're like, oh my gosh, I need to know more. I have a really awesome Know Your Labs challenge where we're going to be going through my five key tests that I think all exhausted women must know. So you can grab that link just in the show notes below. Okay, so let's dive in. Lab testing is this like really awesome place where we get to find out so much more information, get context around your symptoms, understand your picture and your healthcare a little bit more. And it's definitely something that I'm a really big proponent of in private practice. I run labs on like 98% of my patients because I think it's a really important benchmark to know as you as an individual where you're sitting on a lot of our key metrics when it comes to just your general blood work. And so what we're going to talk about today is looking at some of our serum labs, meaning our blood work labs, that can help us to gain deeper insight into what's going on for you, ruling things in, ruling things out about whether or not they're a concerning piece. So I want to give you a little bit of an example. So I had a patient, she's 41, she came in, she just feels exhausted, right? She's exhausted all the time from morning till night. She feels like she's not sleeping very well. She's noticed she's put on probably about 15 to 20 pounds in the last 2 years. She's gone to her family doctor. Everything kind of came back quote unquote normal. She just like really never heard from them again. And so it was just like, I think everything is fine. We've noticed that whenever she eats, she just feels bloated and gassy. She feels irritated. She's having like weird bowel movements all the time and just doesn't feel like herself. A lot of the time she'll notice that like moodiness starts to creep in, and especially around her monthly cycle, feeling a lot more snappy, a lot more irritated with her family, and just like she could cry at the drop of a hat. And so this is a common picture that I see very often in practice. And the challenging part is that we need to kind of like tease out some of the reasons why this is your experience, why life feels like this right now. And I think a really important part is that when we get to do lab testing, it's kind of like lifting up the hood of a car. And what healthcare example wouldn't have a car example analogy in it? And so when we kind of like get to lift up the hood, it lets us kind of see inside. It lets us kind of like get that crystal ball out and understand a bit more about you, about why things are happening, why you feel this shitty quote unquote, and how we're going to get you feeling better. It helps us to triage treatment plans. It helps us to understand what we need to do to get you feeling your best and get you feeling better. And so when we've got a lot of different symptoms, and in her case, it's a lot, right? If we started itemizing out each one of those symptoms, we probably have like 15 to 20 different symptoms that are happening to her on a daily basis. And so what my job is to kind of go in there and tease out the reasons why these things can be happening and set up a strategy and set up a plan so that she can start feeling better. We can start working towards an optimized health. What we want to be really mindful of is that I'm a practitioner in Canada. And so our healthcare system is that we're very well versed in sick care, right? We're really great to some degree. We're better at it, at least. We're better when, you know, if your labs are way off, if they're kind of like off the charts in the bad department, we have strategies, we have tools, we have pharmaceuticals to support your body and bring you back, or at least put in strategies for you to help to support you. What we're really not good at doing is helping you before you get to that point. So I'm a really big proponent of functional care and looking at functional labs and optimizing your labs. And so when I look at labs versus sometimes a Western medicine practitioner or family doctors, we're just looking at labs very differently. And so in my world and in my space, I'm a really big activist in the preventative care space. I'm a really big supporter of helping women to like feel good, feel amazing in their skin on a daily basis. And so for me, when I'm looking at labs, I'm just looking at them very, very differently. So a lot of the times it's always where I'll see patients and are like, well, I had lab work done. No one called me. I'm assuming everything is within normal and it's A-okay. And my answer to that is always, well, let me see the labs. Let's go through it with the fine tooth comb and let's talk about what is quote unquote normal. Sometimes what happens is that when we have normal, we have these really wide distributions of what normal is when it comes to labs. We use a really big population's sample size. A lot of the time we can have people in there that are undiagnosed. So we use their labs because they're quote unquote normal. They just haven't been diagnosed yet. So sometimes that skews labs as well when it comes to our reference ranges. And so reference ranges are there as a reference point. Could you be an individual who falls outside as an outlier, outside of that norm, and maybe you feel better at a bit of a higher end? Or are you a person where you tend to just like live at the lower end on a normal basis and you still feel optimized there? So there is some nuance when it comes to labs and nuance when it comes to individualized care. And so I want to like really drive that home because reference ranges are there. They're helpful to help us look at them. Are they a perfect measure of health? I would disagree with that. And so there is a narrower window within there. And usually that can be individualized as well, where we're like, okay, like this is the huge reference range. When I see patients optimized, when I see them feeling their best, having their best energy, feeling their best mood, you know, their bowel movements are like immaculate, whatever it is, we have a bit of a tighter or narrower window. And so that's what I'm usually talking about with patients is looking at, hey, these are the reference ranges. This is where I want you to sit. So I have a little bit of a different set of reference ranges based on my clinical work and practice, as well as based on colleagues who have been in practice for 20 and 30 years. Based on the research, we kind of use a little bit of amalgamation of all three, and we can utilize that as our reference point about like where we want to sit. So we'll kind of have a chat in regards to like where some of our labs we would want to be sitting. So the next question I'm usually asked is like, how often should I run labs and when should I run them? So number one is when you should run them is like when you're not feeling like yourself. When you feel like there's something off, you're going to be the person that knows your body best. And so if you're feeling off, if you're feeling like something's not aligned, let's get some lab work done. Let's find out and kind of test, not guess, when it comes to some of our markers of health and look at that from a general standpoint. So when you're not feeling well, my other strategy usually is doing baseline labs at least. Usually it's around once a year, especially if we get to a place where we're just in general maintenance plan. Doing labs once a year is usually my benchmark. A lot of the times when it comes to physicals now, our family doctors aren't running them every 2 to every 3 years. So I'm just a bigger fan of having a bit more of a pulse on the body, knowing what it's doing, knowing where you sit and where your baselines are, and then kind of testing serially and annually from there. When it comes to if we're in active care, so say there's something where you're like, I'm off, this feels weird, I'm going to get my blood work done, I'm going to figure this thing out. Usually when it comes to running your labs, we would run them once, and then we're not usually running them for at least 12 to 16 weeks, depending on what's going on. So usually it's not something where you're running labs today, and then you're going to run them in a week. A lot of the times with a few of the parameters we're going to talk about, you need to be having at least 3 months in between your markers of measurement to know what's actually going on and if the therapies that you've put in, if they're actually helping. So it's a really important place from like a timeline standpoint to be like, when are you running them? How often are you running them? And then when we're doing treatment strategies, how often you're running them from there. So that's just a couple kind of like points that I like to go over with patients, especially when it comes to more serum or lab work specifically or blood work specifically. So when we get into one of my main labs that I love for everyone to have a double check on. And usually when it comes to labs, most often I'm running what's called an enhanced healthy living assessment. We're looking at about 60 different points of health parameters and looking at that as like your general health audit to know where your body's doing and what's happening. What we're going to chat about today is a couple pieces that I wanted to like pull out specifically to be like, hey, if we're not working together, that's okay. Here are some things that I definitely want you to consider and to have run and advocate for yourself. So number one is if you're a woman, if you're a menstruating woman, meaning you're having your period regularly, one thing you need to know is what's called your ferritin. So your ferritin is considered your long-term iron status. It's usually looking at how much iron is stored in the body. And so iron is a really important mineral. It's the one that goes into our red blood cells. It's the one that carries oxygen around your body. That's how we get oxygen and energy to all of our cells around the body is utilizing iron. And so we really want to be mindful of looking at iron as a marker of energy and of health. And so with your ferritin, you're looking at your long-term iron stores, and we usually want that to sit somewhere as like an optimized female, somewhere in like the 40 to 80 range. When we look at our normal labs within Canada, the number is between 5 and 272. And the reason why it's so large is because it's not age stratified. It's not gender stratified. We're just kind of like looking at like men, women, perimenopausal, postmenopausal, fertile women. We all are in the same boat there. And so that's why that range is so, so large. So we want to be really mindful of checking your iron, checking your ferritin more specifically, and knowing what your long-term iron storage format looks like. Because when ferritin is low, and low to me is, you know, less than 40, less than 30, what women can start to feel is low energy and fatigue, breathlessness, poor recovery after your workouts, anxiety, less mental concentration and focus, and loss of hair as well. And so if any of these things are like you're kind of ticking off a lot of the boxes, we want to just be make sure that like you're ruling iron deficiency or any type of issues with iron absorption off your list. The other thing that comes along with ferritin sometimes is that we can also do an iron panel. And so an iron panel looks at how much iron is actually out in the serum that's free to use simply and easily for your body. It also looks at how much is bound versus how much is just running around in your body. So we look at saturation stats as well. So those are kind of two different ways that we look at iron. You can look at iron that you have kind of ready and available, and then you have long-term ferritin or long-term iron storage. I like to usually run both because they give us different understandings of what's happening in the body. Because what can be very interesting is on the flip side of that, so usually I see women with really low iron. I've had a couple cases this year where we've had like really, really high ferritin. I had a patient that was in the 600s and had to refer her out because I've never seen anything that high. So it can also go the opposite direction. And so when it's really, really high, what we actually are looking for as is like an inflammatory state for the body. So elevated iron levels can also be an indication of inflammation that's happening in the body too. So iron can be a really important feature that we're always looking at. And so women especially, knowing your iron and your ferritin status is really important. As well as if you are a vegan, a vegetarian, a lot of our really easily absorbable forms of iron are found in our meat sources. So if you've gone vegan or vegetarian, or you're eating a really high plant-based diet and we've kind of like cut that type of food group out, you're another category where we really want to be mindful of looking at what is your iron and what is your iron and your ferritin over time to make sure that you're appropriately supported. Number two, when we're thinking about labs that are really important to know as a baseline, as well as especially if you're exhausted and tired and moody, would be B12. And so B12 is going to be one of our water-soluble vitamins. We do store some of it though, so it's not completely water-soluble. It's a really important factor when it comes to energy and energy production, as well as detoxification for the body. So B12, if we're really low in B12, things you might start to see are fatigue. Again, low concentration and low focus. We can see breathlessness again. Lots of time, anxiety, depression can come up for patients as well. And poor sleep can be a feature too when your B12 is too low. We're going to find B12 most often in meat, eggs, dairy. Those are going to be our biggest spaces. So again, if you're vegan or vegetarian or have moved to a higher plant-based diet, sometimes we've kind of like lost our vitamin B12 based on some of our nutritional choices. And so again, it's always a really important feature to know where your B12 is sitting. I also have sometimes have patients who are like, I was tired, so I just started taking B12 because I heard it works. And while it's great that you're starting to kind of do some investigation, see if something's working, when it comes to some of our minerals and our vitamins, we always want to know like where we're starting from before we just start supplementing willy-nilly and making sure we're not just disguising something else. Because maybe you're taking B12, but it's not necessarily the issue. So getting your B12 tested is a really important one. Usually our reference range is anywhere between 138 and 652 picomoles per liter. On average, when I look at people who feel optimized and feel best, usually their B12 is going to be over 400 to 450. And so that's usually where most people, their energy feels really good, their mood feels really stable and less erratic. And that's kind of where I like patients, their B12 to sit. So if it's something where you're low, adding in nutritional sources is really important. And can be really beneficial. If it's something where that's not working, we can always look at adding in sublingual or liquid B12 drops as well. If we're not a great absorber or something's happening there, that can be different ways that we can add B12 back into your diet or into your daily habits. But again, it depends on where are you starting from? What is your actual B12 level before you just start supplementing when it comes to that vitamin? And so our third test when it comes to low energy, hormonal issues, mood issues, the third one you're going to want to think about testing, especially if you live in the Northern Hemisphere, is looking at your vitamin D status. And so vitamin D is a really important component when it comes to energy, when it comes to hormone stabilization, when it comes to your immune function, your mood. Vitamin D is integral in all of these aspects. And so making sure we know where you're starting from and where your vitamin D is actually sitting can be really, really important when it comes to your health and to your case. When it comes to vitamin D, it's our sunshine vitamin. So usually what happens is that if you're outside in the sun for 20 minutes without sunscreen on, when that light is low and less of a burn, what happens is that the sunlight will interact with your skin. We have a chemical cascade of reactions and we will produce vitamin D for our body. The hard part for us here in Canada is that sometimes we don't see the sun for like 6 months. At least that's what it felt like. And so what we want to be mindful of is that we can supplement with a vitamin D to help support your vitamin D levels. But again, we want to know before we just start willy-nilly supplementing. I've had lots of patients come in saying like, oh, I was prescribed 3,000 or 4,000, or someone at the health food store told me to take 5,000. I'm like, hey, that might be the right dosing strategy. Did you test your vitamin D levels? And the answer is always usually no. So vitamin D, it's not a hugely cost expensive test, but we do have to pay for it out of pocket here in Canada. It's usually around it's like $40, right? So it's not a huge expenditure. So it's a really nice one to know because the assumption is in Canada that you are deficient across the board. But before we do any heroic dosing, before you're doing any type of dosing strategy, it can be a really big game changer to know where your baseline, where you're starting from when it comes to your vitamin D status. So getting your blood work done, finding out your vitamin D, our reference range is anywhere between 75 and 250 picomoles per liter. My goal for patients, it comes down to about 100 to 120 is kind of like my benchmark where I get people optimized. Again, this is where people's mood feels the best, right? So if you had some seasonal affective disorder this year where like the gray, gloomy days are starting to really get to you, making sure we're knowing your vitamin D status, especially going into next year, can be a really important feature. And so at that 100 to 120, people just tend to feel from a mood standpoint more stabilized. Usually hormones function better in this capacity too. So when we look at any of our PCOS or our fertility studies, again, 100 to 120 is where the body does its best work when it comes to hormone support. Energy fits into here. Your immune system and your immune function. Again, 100 to 120, that's where the research is coming out over the past 3 years, that our vitamin D status actually needs to be higher than what that like benchmark basement level is when it comes to that like 75. So making sure we're getting adequate amounts of vitamin D. There is a caveat here because I have seen it a few times in practice in the past year and a half where people were doing really, really large heroic dosing because someone told them to do it. Vitamin D is a fat-soluble vitamin. It stays in your system. And so you want to know where you're starting. I've had a few patients where we did do their lab work. We looked at what their vitamin D status was, and they were actually in the excessive state, right? They're at about 300 to 350 picomoles. So it's always really important to know where your vitamin D sits before you start supplementing, and can be a really great thing when it comes to like energy and mood, your immune function, your sleep habits, focus, concentration. All of these pieces fit into that vitamin D symptom profile. And so we want to be really mindful of having a good working knowledge of where your vitamin D status is before we just start dosing based on what your neighbor is doing, what the health food store lady said, or sometimes even what our family doctors say if they haven't actually tested your vitamin D levels yet. So that's our part one of our essential lab tests that I think all exhausted women should know. We first talked about ferritin and iron, long-term iron storage. Number two, we talked about B12. And number three, we talked about vitamin D. And a caveat here, and something that I've learned in practice, is that a lot of the times we can actually see on lab work that all three of these babies come back really low. So this is called like the nutrition trifecta, where we've got like low vitamin D, low B12, and low iron. And part of it is that it's like, well, is that just something that's happening? Is it just low? What I've observed from practice is usually that we actually have an absorption issue also happening here. So yes, we have low levels, but there's also another reason that could be confounding it as well, where if we're having more belly issues or more digestive issues where we've got that like irritation in our tummy, maybe we're having weird bowel movements that are happening for us, cycling between diarrhea and constipation, or we're just having bloating and gas all the time and just feeling off constantly in our digestion, or that we're reacting to every food under the sun. A lot of the time what can happen is that if we're having that leaky gut, if we're having that inflammatory reaction in the digestive tract, it inhibits the amount of absorption of food that we have. We don't break foods down as well in that inflammatory condition. We don't absorb things as well. And so we start losing some of those nutrients out the other end. And so a lot of the time, yes, we will support your vitamin D and your B12 and your iron status, but usually kind of upstream from there that we need to work on first is working on your digestion. And so we want to be really mindful that how is your digestion working? How are you breaking foods down? Are you absorbing things appropriately? Those can be really big questions that go along with some of our lab work. And then we can start to see this fuller picture emerge about why you're not feeling so hot. So if we go back to that case that I started with the woman right at the beginning, when we did her lab work, all three of those little suckers came back really low. Her vitamin D was around 40. Her iron was at a really low 20. And then her B12 was in that like 195 area. And so everything was just low in general. So what we actually had to do at the front end of her case was actually do some digestive support, some digestive work, help her start metabolizing and breaking foods down and actually absorbing foods better so that we could help to support her nutrient and mineral values along with then supplementing with those vitamin minerals adjacent to it. But if we just did the vitamins and minerals by themselves and didn't support her digestive tract, I don't think her values in the end that we've come into like a normal range and I have them optimized, I don't think we would have necessarily gotten there if we didn't do that digestive work and digestive environmental support on the front end. So that's just a little clinical pearl that if all those three come back, I would say you might also want to like just look a little deeper, see if there's other digestive concerns and digestive issues that are happening there, because that could also be happening in your case where it's not just about your vitamin mineral levels, it's about what you can actually break down and absorb. So that's our part one. I hope you loved it as much as I did. Again, if you want to dive deeper, if you want to do some more like nuances, I highly recommend grabbing my Know Your Labs challenge. You can grab the link just below in the show notes, and stay tuned for part two, where we're going to be chatting all about the old thyroid. So I'll see you guys then. Yay, you made it to the end of the episode. If you enjoyed today's show, I'd love for you to hit that subscribe button and to leave a review. And if you felt inspired by anything you heard today, I'd love to share with you a few ways to get started to feel like a healthy AF mom.
So in the show notes below, I've left links to some of my favorite challenges. There's a 5-day slay all day smoothie challenge, a get hella hydrated challenge, and a know your labs challenge. All amazing ways that you can get started to feel like your epic version of yourself today. I also have an awesome coupon code. It's healthyaf15, all caps, and that's a 15% off discount to my 14-day body reboot. Again, it's linked in the show notes below. And finally, I love to get social. So if you wanted to follow me or leave me a comment or a review, you can find me on Instagram and YouTube and TikTok at dr.lauren.nd. I'll see you there.